B-Pod Studios.
Do that.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I didn't wake up this morning. A week and a half, 2 weeks. It's been a little bit fast and furious, and the lack of progress on my ankle, and I'm in pain. I'm still in pain. I've been in this cycle, which feels like, I mean, it's been 4 years of this injury pain rehab cycle, and for me to move forward in my life the way I want to, it doesn't involve football. I don't know if tipping point, but, you know, it's shoulder and the ankle and this, and it's I don't feel like I've lived the life, you know, I can't live the life that I want to live moving forward.
All right, that was luck. And again, there's some other stuff in there. He says this and this. So what does this represent? Be interested to find out what that is. And if we find out that there's something else in there that's serious or just sort of off the grid or something you hadn't considered, then, you know, the story changes, I think. But until that time, it's too bad he couldn't push through it, whatever it is. So, your thoughts. We continue. Derek in Foxborough, go ahead.
Yeah, Maz, how do you like luck now? But I never really got the hype around this guy. I mean, I just think he was always a little overrated because he went to Stanford, and that's where John Elway went. I mean, you look at his stats from that Deflategate game in the AFC title game, 12 for 33, 126 yards. I mean, in big games, he was often a no-show. So I people are acting like it's some legendary player retiring. I just don't see it.
Well, you know what? He might have been overrated. I thought he had it all coming out. I thought he checked every box. You know, size, mobility, make every throw, smart, leader, field command, field generalship, like all of it. I thought he had everything. And he was really good. You know, he was a top five quarterback during his time, would you say?
Close. Maybe five, not
top,
quite that
top
high.
10, top 10, probably. Something like that. So it's not like he sucked, but, well, look, when he took over, the team was 2-14. They went to the wild card his first year, the divisional round his second year, the AFC title game his third year, and got thumped by you, and, you know, they never really challenged you. But, yeah, maybe he wasn't as good as I thought he was going to be. And certainly didn't last as long as I thought he was going to last.
I mean, he was 11-5 3 years in a row, and then his career record's 53-33.
And again, if he's surrounded by crap, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, no, he was pretty good. But
And he had, you know, I would argue, bad coaching and bad management and bad ownership. Like, you want to talk about, you know, something to sort of compare him with Brady. Compare the environments. Compare Brady getting Kraft, Belichick, and this guy getting Irsay and whatever collection of clowns you want to put together.
Like
you
want Pagano.
Yeah, and this is like, you want to say that this makes Brady look good. This makes Belichick look good is what it does, because it compares the environment that a couple of good players grew up in.
Rocco and Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, it's me, your Uncle Rocco, Mike. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, okay? You can question Luck's character or his makeup football mentality. Listen, I think the kid didn't want to play, you know, I think he wanted to play with integrity. That's what I think. I don't think he wanted to get on supplements. And you use Peyton Manning as an example. That's a great example. After the next injury, Peyton Manning next season threw like 39 touchdowns, 5,000 yards for the Broncos. We all know he was on something like Brady. I think he's on something. I don't think Luck wants to go down that road. That's why I think he said, you know what, at 29, my body's breaking down. I'm not willing to go on the supplements. And that's why he did this. I mean, the kid was tough as nails. I mean, he was not soft. He wasn't weak. He was tough as nails, man. But, you know, good career, not a great quarterback, and wish him the best, I guess.
Okay, Rocco, thanks for hanging on. It's entirely possible that he didn't want to do the things it would take to stay on the field, which I'm sure take a real toll and are, you know, legal, illegal, whatever. You know, all the things that you got to do to stay on the field in pro football, I think if he just didn't want it, he just didn't want it, which, again, is too bad. I want my quarterback to want it. I want my quarterback to stay on and do everything he has to do to stay on the field.
You know what? I could totally see him being that kind of guy.
He would be that guy, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. Again, this is sort of where it comes back to Stanford. And we use Stanford as the obvious thing, but it's really about his level of intelligence. He understands and said, why would I do that to my body when I want to live to be 85? Why would I do that? Again, and I say this as a football player.
He would be the guy.
Too smart for his own good as a football player. Too smart for his own good.
Tom in the car. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, I'll shed some light, or at least I heard a national show. They had the writer from Indianapolis. A big part of this decision, apparently, is his dependence on the pharmaceuticals and injections and shots. And he had done some talking to doctors, and they were mentioning about the long-term effects possibly on the liver. Apparently, during his rehab, he entered some real dark areas that scared the heck out of him. And they said a big part of his decision was just the amount of pharmaceuticals and injections and whatever else that he would need to take to manage the pain, and he didn't want to cross that path, like you were saying, Mike.
Yeah, so there you go.
Maz.
Yeah, that previous caller. And he would be the guy. He would be the guy. He wants to be an engineer. He wants to build things.
Architectural engineering. Yeah, that's what he did at Stanford. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, as I was listening to that guy, like, that would change my mind a little. If you wanted to tell me that...
It would change my mind one bit.
It would. I'll tell you what would, because when he said, what if he went into a severe depression with these injuries? What if, like, he became suicidal? And they started giving him the medication. He's like, I don't want to take this stuff.
So he's hinted at the mental health problems with it. He didn't say suicidal, but he's talked around... seeking professional help for the mental part of it. So I think he's all but, you know, more or less beyond hinted at it, that he had some mental health struggles related to the cycle of injury, pain, rehab.
So now, again, I would say that if this was something new to the cycle, then I sort of accept it. It's the timing of it that bothers me. Like, if he was having these mental issues way back when, well, you're not going to play football again without getting hurt.
I just think beyond the timing, it's just too bad. It's just too bad because the football needs as many quarterbacks as they can get. And there's enough bad football out there. And again, I feel like the quarterback thing is now going in the other direction across the league. Like, there's not enough guys anymore. And there's going to be, just like when Rodgers gets hurt, or, you know, you get a Indianapolis game on a Sunday night in November, and it's Jacoby Brissett for the 2-6 Indianapolis Colts. Who does that help? That does nothing for anybody.
Can you imagine if this had happened here? Like, if this guy were the quarterback here, franchise guy, age 29, 2 weeks before the season, he pulls the plug.
You'd boo his ass off the field.
People would be out of their minds.
Yes, of course they would be.
They'd be out of their minds. Now, again, the booing off the field part, I don't know, maybe. Maybe. I mean, what happened, that part of the story, oh, what a disgrace.
If that were Tony Eason, you know, who pulled that, or, you know, and Andrew Luck was better than Tony Eason. If Bledsoe did it, he'd be booed off the field. He would. And I mean, I think that's a fair comp. I think.
Yeah, Bledsoe's about the only comp.
Bledsoe and Andrew Luck were. I say Andrew Luck was probably a little better, but Bledsoe had a better career.
And look, I'll tell you,
and had a sort of the love hate with the fans, or, you know, fans were tough on Bledsoe, and if he had pulled that, you would have booed him off the field.
And also a well adjusted guy with a strong family influence that would put life over football. And see, like, but I use even Bledsoe. I use him because he popped into my head this morning. When the Patriots trade him, and then, you know, he kept playing. Like, Bledsoe.
No, he's a tough guy. He did everything it took to keep playing as long as he could play. And when it ran out in Buffalo, he went to Dallas. Remember that?
Of course. That's what I mean, the whole thing.
But this is, I don't, you know, I wouldn't have booed. I don't endorse the booing. But I just sort of understand the mindset of the fan that sees these franchise quarterbacks do everything they can to play every single week and keep playing when, you know, when their body won't let them, to continue to force their way on the field and do everything that it takes and withstand that injury, pain, rehab cycle and put themselves through it. We're used to seeing these guys do it and put themselves through it. When someone has a wherewithal to say, no, I don't want to. I mean, good for him as a human being and his own personal choice. We're just not used to it. And I don't think we like it. And I know as a football fan, I don't really like it. I'd like to think that guy, I mean, what a gift he's been given. Like, what a chance. There's only a couple dozen people like you on the face of the earth that have a chance to do what you do at the level that you do it. And so it's going to take some pain and some rehab and, you know, some of this, and you don't want to do it. Huh.
See, he doesn't look at it that way.
He sure doesn't.
Because he has a lot of gifts. Because he's going to open up his own architectural design company or something. And he'll make his millions that way. That's what he thinks anyway.
Jose in Dorchester on Jimmy Garoppolo had a nice weekend. Go ahead, Jose.
Yay to me. 0-1, no 0.0 quarterback rating. Blah, the 49ers are done. That's for the hater on his honeymoon, already writing off my boy Jimmy. And also, Maz, as a Niners fan,
I want him to stay in San Fran. I want him to win, and I want to see that that revenge in the Super Bowl. I want to see Shanahan, Belichick, and I want to see Garoppolo, Brady, Garoppolo win, and send Brady off in the sunset, baby.
Okay, so
see you later. Go Niners.
You. Thanks, Jose. I know you want Garoppolo to suck, so Bill will sign him back here. It's a better story if Garoppolo has success out there.
Oh, what a great story that'd be if they ever get into the playoffs.
And well, then that's like a no-brainer. But but just the whole second guess and how they handled it, and did they have the next guy and how they handled the next guy, it's just, it keeps it a... Garoppolo being good keeps it alive as a talker.
Oh, for sure it does. I'm just telling you that part of me wants to spit in the face of all these people who mocked me. And then the second Belichick brings him back, they'll say, yeah, see, Bill got him back. He's smart. Oh, so you didn't want him to go. Like, I'm sort of waiting for that shoe to drop. My allegiance to Jimmy G, Jimmy Fragile, as Murray calls him, my allegiance to Garoppolo has been clear from the beginning.
Again, the reaction in Indy over the weekend, kind of ugly. Who do you really blame for that? That story right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What?
Felger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I didn't wake up this morning. A week and a half, 2 weeks. It's been a little bit fast and furious, and the lack of progress on my ankle, and I'm in pain. I'm still in pain. I've been in this cycle, which feels like, I mean, it's been 4 years of this injury pain rehab cycle, and for me to move forward in my life the way I want to, it doesn't involve football. I don't know if tipping point, but, you know, it's shoulder.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Season win behind an excellent defensive performance, a strong third quarter offensively from Tyler Bray and company, and now you're starting to hear the reaction of some of the fans. It almost, Jimmy, it sounds like some of these fans are booing as Andrew Luck starts to head back towards the locker room here.
Yeah, you could definitely hear the boos, and hey, until they walk in that man's shoes and what he's been dealing with, he's done a lot of great things here in Indianapolis, obviously the playoffs.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest, chap. It hurt.
I mean, horrible look. I get why fans did it, but horrible look. But fans are fans. You know, we're irrational animals, as I said earlier. Simpletons. I really blame the team for allowing it to leak, because I really do feel that was the leak.
I mean, that's how I felt about it. Again, and the visual, look, I get it. Like, you know, the whole fan investment, we get it. Like, it's hard not to, for crying out loud. I, you know, was, and to some degree, still am a fan in a lot of ways. It's just such a bad look, though. A guy makes a decision like that, which could not have been easy. Okay? That part could... And then he has to walk off the field as it breaks out of uniform and have the fans boom on the way out the door?
Team put him in that position.
Oh, I think it came from their side.
See,
Who else could it have come from?
Well, so he told a few people, so... I mean, and this is how I handicap it. Maybe Schefter heard it from somewhere else because I guess Luck told a few teammates. And they were like, you know, this assistant coach that I mentioned, you know, heard there was an inkling. So, but for Schefter to go with that, 3 p.m. press conference tomorrow, he has to have that checked off by the team. Has to have that checked off by someone he trusts on the team. And I ain't talking about, you know, John just scrims. I'm not talking about the ball boy. You know, it's someone high up. So...
He also had a tweet that very specifically said he met with the owner and told the owner he was going to retire. Like, that is a very specific tweet. That doesn't come from some assistant coach that he's been talking to. That doesn't come from some player down on the field. It comes from the owner.
Comes from Luck or the owner. Exactly. And I think
what a mistake by the Colts.
Oh,
what
my
a mistake.
God. And they set him up for that. And
they totally did.
I don't know if they meant to or not. I don't know if they, you know, really understood what that reaction was going to be. But wouldn't it surprise me if someone's trying to curry favor with Schefter and, you know, just doing that thing and lets him have it, you know, confirms it for him. And the next thing you know, he's getting booed off the field. The team set him up for that.
Oh, God. But again, what a horrible look. For that to come out while the team's on the field and he's standing on the sideline. And then, the news is shocking in and of itself. It's shocking enough. The guy's got to walk off the field to that?
Oh, just awful.
You know, the most charitable way of looking at it is maybe in their mind they thought, oh, this will get, you know, it'll give him a chance at a curtain call. This will be a chance for the fans to learn about it and cheer for him off the field, assuming that that's what fans would do. Because, by the way, I would assume that's what fans would do. If they learned in the middle of the game that this is the last time we're going to see Andrew Luck out on a playing field.
You don't get why fans would be agitated. I mean, not that they're right to boo, but you really think, I mean,
I get agitated. But I would think more disappointed. Like, more, I can't believe this is happening. This sucks. But hey, Andrew, great job. You did a lot for us.
I can totally see a fan saying, oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
Especially, again, see, this is where I come back to the timing of it. If, like, you want to tell me this is late in the regular season, they all know he's taking another beating. There's rumors out there that, you know, Peyton Manning. Right? Peyton Manning plays a final game in Denver. They're going to miss the playoffs, and it leaks during the game. Sure, standing O, I get it. This kid, 29 years old, 2 weeks before the season opener, people are talking about Super Bowl, potentially, and they're one of the teams that could threaten the Patriots, and then the whole thing comes out from under their feet in the blink of an eye?
They're not giving you a standing O for that.
They're going to be pissed. There were reports this morning that I saw quickly on my phone that fans are calling the Colts wanting their season tickets refunded. And part of me feels like, yeah, good for you. I'd be pissed if I were a Colts fan. I renewed my season tickets and you didn't tell me the quarterback was thinking about retiring? What? I want my money back. Oh, I'd be pissed. But at the end of the day, oh, what a mistake by the Colts. You let that story get out.
Brutal.
You let that story get out. And the guy, especially like, and I'm going back to the last segment now. The guys had, you know, the caller said that there was a reporter who went on and said he's been in dark places. So he's been suffering from depression as a result of some of these rehabs. And that's how I interpret it. And then you let it out in the middle of the game that he's going to retire and he gets booed off the field.
It's on the team.
Oh, that's disgraceful. That is disgraceful to put him in that spot.
We continue with your thoughts, Matt in Malden. What do you got for us, Matt?
Hey, guys. One of the things, particularly Felger, that you've been talking about is the quarterback shortage. And so after Luck News, I look back at some of these drafts, and there's this five-year-long black hole from 09 to 13, guys that are going into professional years 6 through 10, where there are, after Luck's retirement, there are only five first-round picked quarterbacks left in football from that era with Luck going. Stafford, Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, RG3, and Tannehill. For an era that guys should be have developed their football IQ, should be the kings of the field, and there's nobody, no first-round guys left. And I don't know if that's a failure of the college game to prepare guys or the NFL to coach guys, but
I think it's that second thing. I think it goes back to the lack of good coaching, because I think that's a huge for most guys. Some guys are so talented it doesn't matter, but for the most part, coach quarterback. Well, you don't have any coaches. Where's the coach quarterback thing coming from? And I think that's, you know, again, I talked last year about how I think the quarterback position is in good shape across the league. Most teams, the vast majority of teams, have a guy, either an established veteran or a young guy they've just drafted who they feel good about going forward in the future. But after 12 months, those numbers are dwindling. You know, back last year, I think I would have said Tampa and Tennessee still had their guys. Drafted guys 1-2 overall in their third, fourth year. They still feel good about those guys. Now, I put those teams, Tennessee and Tampa, as teams that need to go back into the lottery, if you will, and draft another quarterback because those guys aren't the guy. Now put the Colts on that list. They have to go back into the quarterback lottery and get another quarterback. That's three. So, like, that's a swing. And if I thought about it harder, maybe there'd be more guys on that list who just, you know, so I just go to the Thursday night game in November, Indy, Houston, or whatever, Sunday night football, and there's Indy, and they can't what do you call that, cycle them out of it? You can't flex them out of it, and we're stuck watching a primetime football game with Jacoby Brissett, who I think is a 4.5 on a scale of 10.
Yeah, it's like
everyone
watching.
Everyone in Indianapolis says he's a winner, and he's ready to go. That's what I heard.
Blake Bortles and Tom Savage.
Right, exactly.
There's something like that. It's like complete, absolute garbage.
Jim in Connecticut. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, I'm starting with the premise that Robert Irsay is just a slime ball. As I still remember, when he left his Baltimore in the middle of the night.
It was his dad that did it.
May or may not remember that.
I do. It was his dad.
Yeah. And as I think that Andrew Luck's a stand-up guy, I think what might have happened is much like you think, as Felger is that as he had probably told them early in the spring, and they probably said, well, we'll do this, we'll do that. And as time went on, it was more and more apparent to him that he had to leave.
Well, so this is what I think. I think the team said, hold off. Don't make up your mind till you have to. And they took it to the very last, thinking he'd change his mind, and he didn't.
This is why Bill Belichick trades guys who are talking about retiring. So he's, you know, so look.
That's why he had Gronk traded to Detroit.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Because he knows the guy's heart's not in it. And so I still think, like, I just think that once Luck agreed to that part of it, he had to play out the season. You know, 2 weeks before the opener, talk about cutting the legs off a team. 2 weeks before the opener, you find out your quarterback's quitting.
Jerry in Lowell, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to tell you that, like, the last thing I heard about his injury, the most recent one that actually caused him to retire, was he had a thing called os trigonum, which is an extra bone in your ankle, which I think Jim Irsay referred to as a little bone problem.
The mo bone.
Yeah. It's actually something that I have. It's something you're actually born with. But it doesn't kind of perpetuate itself until you actually aggravate or injure it. And he obviously has had plenty of injuries where that's come up. So it's something that once you have it, it has flare-ups. It's not something that you live with all the time.
So look, Jerry, I'm just going to cut you off. Thanks for the call. I have no doubt he's had a bad go of it with injuries and pain and rehab and all of it. But I think a lot of guys have. I think a lot of guys have. Is his any worse or any less worse? I don't know. You know, I just don't know. But I know there's been a lot of quarterbacks who've put themselves through a lot of physical pain and rehab and whatever it takes to get back on the field. Probably a lot of that stuff's not good for you, and they do it. And we sort of expect these guys to do it. And when someone doesn't do it, it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right to us, which makes us animals and sports fans and football fans. But that's sort of the... That's sort of what I'm picking up on Andrew Luck. It's sort of how I feel about Andrew Luck as a football player.
Whether it's weeks, months, years, whatever, we're going to get more details on this. It'll come out eventually. He'll do an interview 5 years from now, for all I know.
I just hope it ain't from snowboarding, okay? Because then that would really aggravate me. Jules in New Hampshire, go ahead.
What's up, Mike? So this is why you don't get rid of guys like Brady and Manning early. It brings you back right back to Jimmy and Brady. Those fans booed because they know they passed up 2 shots at a title with Manning. We didn't make that mistake, and here we are going for our fourth.
So let me ask you, Jules, just real quick. Would you trade Tom Brady right now for Pat Mahomes?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So
I mean, that's four. You know what I mean? You got three more years. Mahomes is nasty.
No, I mean, and I understand. So, and this is a different circumstance, but it's...
But at the time, that's what everyone thought with Brady.
Yeah,
but there were 2 or 3 more years left.
Not everybody.
A lot of people.
We. Us. So we were wrong.
Bill.
Bill agreed with us. Bill was ready to move on earlier than later. Yep. Bill, Felger, and Maz all were of the same mind. Yep. That's right. And
as long as you include Bill, I like the company.
And all three of us were wrong. But the premise of getting out early on your aged quarterback for the next thing isn't that unreasonable. We were just had the too early on Brady and wrong on Luck. But other than that, our heart was in the right place.
We were close.
More on that. More of the blue game right after Hook's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you are a follower of the Patriots and you would not trade Tom Brady for Andrew Luck, you're beyond dumb.
All right, Mass. Do you think we've sufficiently called ourselves out for that take 7 years ago?
Yeah. No, it will never go away.
And again, that's the money quote, but it was a 90-second clip where I have plenty of asinine commentary in there as well. We've played it twice. I think we've done our share to give you the opening. Okay? We've given it to you. So there it is.
Yeah, we don't hide.
Not only does Tom Brady and the Patriots outlive Andrew Luck and the Colts, but they blow them away in the short term and are still right in the middle of it. And the Colts, like I said, are back in the lottery.
I mean, really, that's the stunning part, is that if you would look at it and you say, okay, Indy get the number one pick, they actually got the right guy, right? They hit on the pick. And then he retired at 29. Like, Belichick must be laughing his ass off.
After they beat the bag out of him, after the team allowed him to get the bag beaten out of him for 7 years, he quits at 29. And your guy at 42 is still going.
I mean, seriously, Belichick must be laughing his ass off. Say, yeah, why don't we let the air out of your... let the air out of your team?
Oh, there's no question they're doing little... They're tent to pantalone down there in Foxborough.
Oh, my gosh, really? And again, like, I sort of look at it and go, the irony on some level for the Colts... They have a guy in there as coach now that I think has some clue with quarterbacks. I think.
And their GM has improved over the previous one. I'm still not convinced, but, it feels like, they're in better shape than they were with Gregson and Pagano.
Like, this Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator the year they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles over the Patriots, for crying out loud. And then all of a sudden he gets to Indy. They turn it around. They're playing well. Like, the whole thing you look at and go, whoa, what do you got here? And then the quarterback quits.
I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, Bill is laughing his ass off.
Please. He's probably swerving all the way home in his car because he's laughing so hard.
He and Mike in Woburn. Go ahead, Mike.
How's that? A little higher or lower?
Not
bad. No, look, hey.
That tape didn't age well, Maz.
I don't fault you at all, because if you put Andrew Luck here, is Bill giving Chuckles in freaking Cleveland a first-round pick for Trent Richardson so that Andrew Luck can get his brain smashed at the jam because he's got no offensive line?
Good point.
This is a indictment on the Colts as an organization, and it goes all the way back to – people want to say it's karma for Deflategate. I personally like to think it's karma for allowing Curtis Painter to go in game 15
for tanking.
And tank away – the perfect season, because you were worried about Peyton Manning getting some seismic disturbances in his sphincter at the end of the regular season, let alone the playoffs. Okay, they let Peyton walk for nothing when all the owner had to do was pay him, and you could have gotten pick after pick after pick for Peyton Manning to surround Andrew Luck with to protect him. But they didn't do that either, and then they let Andrew Luck die on the vine. They don't let anybody. They don't protect him at all, and they're going to hang him out to dry in a game with all their fans. He's the bad guy. Andrew Luck's the bad guy.
Oh.
You got to be crazy.
Well, that last thing was bad. Did the Colts make a mistake in letting Peyton Manning go and sucking for Luck?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just going to say to Mike, should the Patriots have granted Tom Brady's wish when he asked them to take out the transition of franchise tag?
So what are you saying? So
ultimately, the Colts.
They've put themselves in the same position the Colts did with Manning.
Right. That ultimately, that what the Colts did is they said Peyton Manning has earned the right to make his own decision.
And so
they did right by Manning.
All right, but I'm talking about something different. Should the Colts just have kept Peyton Manning?
No,
because you know what? Peyton Manning
No.
Wasn't good enough to lead that team to a Super Bowl. He was good enough to lead a Broncos team that had a great defense and, you know, a good team around him. He was good enough to lead that team to, and he didn't lead them, but, you know, to be a quarterback of that team. He wouldn't have won anything in Indy. They weren't good enough.
No. No, the Colts did the right thing. They made the right call there. They did. They made the right call. And again, I was focusing on the part of it of, you know, holding on to Manning and then trading.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because that's what Mike was saying. They use the picks to put players around Luck. They didn't want to do it to me. They didn't want to do Manning like that. Just like the Patriots ultimately said, Tom Brady asked for his freedom, and they said, okay, we'll give it to you.
We've got Willie in Charlestown. Hi, Willie.
Hey, I just want to touch on three quarterbacks. First, I think Bledsoe was a better quarterback than Luck. Second, Jimmy G has a new name. It's Jimmy B from Busto. And third, I think Andrew Luck just ran out.
Okay, thank you. Bledsoe Luck.
So
where do you go there? I go Luck.
Luck was more talented.
I think so, too.
Luck could move. You know.
But Luck, you know.
Bledsoe probably had a bigger arm.
And, you know, it appears tougher.
Yeah.
I mean, more willing. And Hook over there is scoffing.
Bledsoe was tough. He doesn't get enough credit for that.
I mean, I think they're all tough to a degree, but I think Bledsoe was willing to put up with all the crap that Andrew Luck's not willing to put up with. And I don't think Bledsoe was, like, at the top of that list either. I think there's guys that were willing to put up with more than Bledsoe. I think Bledsoe, like you sort of mentioned, had a head on his shoulders and had a life outside of football, or, you know, and had that thing where I don't know if Bledsoe would say football completely defined him. Like some of these other guys. See, I think there is nothing wrong. I talk about this all the time. These NBA players who want to be known for something more than basketball, and they don't just want to be known as a basketball player. I'm like, why? What's wrong with being known for and considered, and the first thing people think about is you being one of the greatest ever to do what you do? There's a nobility in that. I think there's what's wrong with that? What are you ashamed of?
Go ahead. I have a theory on that.
Are you ashamed of just being a great ball player? If someone just considered me just a great talk show host and that was it, I'd be proud of that. That's what I've devoted my life to. So why are some of those guys so reluctant to say that that's what defines me?
Because that career ends when they're 35 or 40 years old.
And also, it's a purely physical gift.
Not a quarterback, it ain't.
Well, no. You mentioned like NBA.
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, NBA players. Like those guys, they were born with it. I mean, again, not that football players aren't to a large degree, but, you know, football requires a little more work and commitment and studying. And there's a mental part of it. The basketball thing is purely God-given talent.
And I don't think you want to be 60 years old and say the thing that everyone knows me for is something I did 30 years ago.
Why?
Well, I just think that, I mean, I clearly am not known for anything anywhere at any point, and I'm way over the hill. So I can't personally speak to this, but my guess is that they want, you know, more of their life to matter than what they did when they were a kid, so to speak.
I mean,
that would be my guess.
I sort of get this. It's all just sort of a long way of saying that, you know, I think Tom Brady, for example, has other interests, and I think he wants to rule the world with TB12 and have a post-career life and all of that. But I think that what has driven him is the football and being defined by football, and that's your livelihood, and that's okay because careers are important and succeeding at them is valuable. And, you know, I'm just a football player and I was really good at it and I'm proud of that. Like, that I get. The other thing I have a little harder time with. Like, why do you need to be anything more than what you are?
Just to play along with the discussion, do you think Brady still feels that way?
Yeah, like I said, I think he's really interested in his post-career life, but I think he's singularly driven by football. And is willing to do whatever it takes to stay on the field. I mean, Maz.
I think he was singularly driven by football. I don't know if he is anymore.
Well, maybe it's as a means to the second thing now, you know, but I still think he's willing to put himself through it.
Sure.
Don't tell me he's totally healthy or he doesn't have to do certain things to get himself on the field that may have ramifications later on. You know, I mean, I think he has been more than willing to put up with the pain rehab cycle that Andrew Luck is not willing to put up with. We continue with your thoughts here. The Felger and Maz off-air show returns tonight, I should mention. Myself and Adam Jones, The Dark Knight, 6 p.m. sharp on Facebook Live. 6 p.m. Adam Jones will come in and swear like a dirty sailor on that thing.
I keep waiting for my invite.
It's also on Twitch. You can do it right now, Hook, but you're doing your baseball thing with Maz, aren't you?
That's true.
You can come in anytime.
Thanks for the enthusiasm and energy, Marshall. I appreciate that.
I don't think they're going to pay you for it, But I would love to have you anytime. I enjoy our conversation so much, Hook.
Yeah, we hate each other. No, that's what everyone thinks.
Jimmy loves it. Jimmy loves it.
Oh, this is tremendous.
Oh, you get to argue with Felger. Oh, yeah, go after Felger. I love it. But Jimmy had his pants off before.
Shorts.
Felger Maz, off-air show, Facebook Live, myself and Jones, 6 p.m. sharp. A few more of your calls here before we hit the final word. Paula in Plainville. Hi, Paula.
Hey, I read today that Andrew Luck was recently married to his longtime girlfriend.
He is.
And they've recently announced that they're expecting their first child.
Okay.
If you put that in the context of the other story today of the older football player crying for help, somebody to help his head.
Yep.
You have to respect Andrew for his decision. He's just starting his life, and maybe he wants to be able to enjoy it and be able to live it like a normal human being and not be crying for help sometime in the future.
Okay, Paula, thanks for the call. Yeah, no, that's right. As a human, I get it. I get it. We have come to expect our quarterbacks to sort of push through that and to do what it takes to stay on the field and prioritize that thing over their future health or their family life or et cetera. It's just sort of what we've come to expect from these guys. And so when Andrew Luck doesn't do it, it sort of stands out. But that doesn't make him a bad person. It makes him less of a football player, but not less of a person.
Tell you what, I want to know, and we got a call, a couple of segments ago, so 20, 30 minutes ago, from a guy who said something about, Andrew Luck was in a dark place and he heard a reporter say it. And like the severity of that had not occurred to me until he said that.
Luck has alluded to it himself, that he had some mental health problems. And those are my words, not his, but he alluded to some mental struggles of going through this. Yes.
Yes, but when you say mental struggles in rehab, sometimes it comes off as, oh, man, I got to do this again, as opposed to, severe depression.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you take a lot of headshots. Maybe some of what she was just saying factors in. He looked at it. He says, what kind of father am I going to be when I'm eating my dinner through a straw? And he just said, I'm done. I told you, the decision of itself I have respect for. I don't have any criticism to that. I just wish he'd done it earlier.
Okay, well, our final word is what, Jimmy?
It is about 90 seconds of blah.
Okay, we get to do that again.
And there's a special television sent us this. Felger's love of Luck from when you were doing that little post-game show after Patriots games.
My little post-game show? All of that coming up in the final word right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, the final word is being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Hook.
Nobody.
Nope.
A pair of items today.
Two. A pair.
I can't do justice to the blah sound. I don't think I can deliver it as well, but it was. If like in the old days of Sesame Street, Hook. Today's store, yeah.
We're going to start with the Felger Andrew Luck thing.
So,
because it's a TV thing.
Take what I just did and put a pin in it.
Yep. Pin it.
Felger and Andrew Luck on TV.
This is the guy.
You want me to gush for 90 seconds here on Andrew Luck? I'll give it to you. I think Luck is already excellent and is going to be phenomenal. It's the complete package. Honestly, the way he runs a huddle, the way he commands his team, the way he runs the clock.
I think he's legit.
He can do everything, folks. I think he has as sure a bet as there is right now in the NFL to make the Hall of Fame. I think he's the next great thing. In 3 to 5 years' time, we'll be talking about Andrew Luck like we talk about Tom Brady right now.
That take didn't age well.
If you're watching on TV, the most notable thing is the fat effing face.
And the hair.
Yeah. Dark short hair and a fat face.
Fat Felger.
Anyway,
fat face. You're going to cut Felger. That mop on top of your head now?
Yeah, we're
going to
cut it this week. We're going to cut it this week.
I liked Fat Felger better.
Yeah. What's next, Hook?
That noise you just made?
Blah.
It sponsored our program today.
Blah. I guess that tank didn't age well. Don't you feel stupid? Oh, how's that working out for you, Maz? Don't you feel stupid, idiot? I guess that tank didn't age well, Maz. Felger. Don't you feel stupid?
A little bit. Jeff in the car. What do you got for us, Jeff?
What do you think about Josh McDaniels' decision not to go to the Colts now? I'll take my comment off there. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so there's that, too.
Is that what we're doing?
How do you like Michelle now, man? Does he suck and blow? Don't you feel like an idiot? Don't you feel stupid?
Yeah, Mads, you're stupid. STOOPID, stupid Mads.
That tank didn't age well. That's what it sounds like. Whoops. Nope.
Oh, idiot.
Eli.
Eli. Oh. Sorry. Yeah, 7. Idiot. Don't you feel stupid?
Oh, well.
Yep. Zion.
You know, when you string it all together, it sounds vaguely dirty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, totally. So that some of that was dry from when we were playing the Zoe audio, Jimmy.
So we played,
100%, right?
Yeah.
So we played the full cuts from 7 years ago, both us and then Zoe, and that's us just doing it in real time.
I'd like to hear that segment again, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that segment was pretty good.
Oh, idiot.
Eli.
Eli. Oh. Sorry. Oh. Yeah, 7. Idiot. Don't you feel stupid?
Oh, well.
Yep. Zion.
So. The very last one was Zoe saying he'd take RG3 over Luck. What prompted you to say Zion?
He made a reference to, would you trade so-and-so for Rondo?
Oh, yes.
Zion.
Hey, would you trade Rondo for the best high school player in the country?
Yeah, Zion. Zion.
Wow. Okay, so that's what we did today. Let's come up on the baseball reporters, Mass.
Pennant race, baby! Pennant race! Here we go! Here we go! 5 weeks to go in the season, the Red Sox gunning for the playoffs. Can't you feel the energy and the passion coming out of that team? Can't you feel it? Huh?
Baseball reporters coming up next. There's a little preview for you, Maz and Hook.
So there are a couple of things that have struck me about the Red Sox over the weekend, not the least of which was those positively wretched, hideous uniforms, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But there were a couple of things, or are a couple of things that stick out to me now about this team.
Okay, no commercials, just an update. Then you get Maz and the baseball reporters, myself, Jones on Facebook Live right now, off-air show. Here's some high-quality profanity. And then we're back at tomorrow, too, with Big Boy Tuesday returns. Bring out the clipboards. Get your charts ready. Here comes the big fella. You want to hear how the guards and the defensive tackles are playing in their one-on-ones? We got it for you. Big Boy Tuesday Bedard tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Yep, leave a lot of room in your schedule because here comes the big boy.
We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Zion.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.